We're glad that you're all here today. I want to thank you for your prayers for me and my wife as we were on vacation, and thankful for your prayers on the passing of my mom as we were gone. It was not the vacation that I had anticipated. We started our vacation on July the 16th, which is a Monday, a week ago Monday, and as we were heading towards my mom's house, we missed her by 20 minutes. She went to heaven. And so we are actually rejoicing over that and thankful for your prayers. She had a rough couple years, she was nearing the end. And so we're glad that she is actually in heaven holding her husband's hand right now, which is my stepfather, Doug, who passed away in 2014. But I thank you for your prayers. And I just want to catch up with my mom one day in heaven as I make my way there one day. We also, as we were trying to enjoy our vacation, the last day of the vacation, I actually was the one that gave the eulogy at my mom's funeral. And so it was a time of family gathering and rejoicing again that she's in heaven. But so thank you for your prayers. I want to transition now from that to talking about something in a more positive vein. Heaven is a positive vein, but I want to talk about some others now who, as a result of the past 10 days or so, are also heaven bound. So I want to ask, I'll start with Blanca, if you will. A week ago last Thursday, Blanca, if you'll stand up. Blanca was baptized into Christ. She's our new sister, so welcome her, if you will. And then after that, Jay, where's Jay at? Jay Hilleman? There he is. Look at Jay. All right. Jay was baptized last Sunday on the 22nd of July, and we're grateful for his decision to receive the Lord as his Savior. But it didn't stop there. Then this last Thursday, Blanca's son, Sam, if you would stand up, Sam. And Sam, I want you to stay standing. Sam was baptized on Thursday. And then, where's Royce at? Royce, where you at? Stand up, Royce. Is Royce here? There he is. All right, Royce, stay standing. He was baptized on Friday. And then I think it was it Saturday? That with Jeremiah. Where's Jeremiah? There he is, Jeremiah. Okay. He was baptized on Saturday. And I hope I didn't miss anyone. By the way, stay standing. There was another soul that received Christ as her Savior when we were at the Filipino Christian Summit, the first annual Filipino Christian Summit this past weekend, not yesterday weekend, but the weekend before. There was another lady I met there. I'm trying to think of her name, Espy, and we went down to Big Bear Lake and got in the lake, and she was baptized into Christ. But look at these three boys right here. David, where you at? Man, I'm trying to help you out with your youth group here, David. Okay, you see these boys? Put them to work, all right? All right, have a seat, please. All right. Well, here we grow again, right? Body of Christ is always growing. We're thankful for these additions to the kingdom. I want to encourage you this morning to have your Bibles open to the 23rd Psalm. Should be an easy chapter to find in your Bibles, right? 23rd Psalm, and if you want to follow along in the outline that's in the bulletin, you'll find as you open your bulletin, there's an outline of the lesson there this morning. Some years ago, it wasn't too long ago, you remember that our country was in a financial crisis. And we weathered the storm, we made it through, things are looking a little bit better in our economy right now, but the worries that we continue to have in life include such worries as job security, we're worried about our investments, we're worried about home values, we're worried about high prices, we're worried about a lot of things in life, and the bottom line is that oftentimes we are indeed worried about our future. Some people believe that the only good thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. Others might like the future to go a little faster so that we can hurry up through the difficult times that we experience in life. But in any case, we have a lot of people today, including Americans, with even the prosperity that we have today, a lot of people today on earth are worried about their future. In fact, it wouldn't take a recession to make us worry like this. We rarely enjoy today because we're constantly worrying about tomorrow. And why do we worry this way? Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're concerned about the future. And so I'm going to remind you today of the ending of the Bible's most popular chapter, the 23rd Psalm. And we're going to focus on verse 6, and we're going to look at the ending that the psalmist David gives to this particular 23rd Psalm, and we'll focus on that and talk about how you can today be at ease about your future. You know, it's a very simple statement, but it is a statement with profound implications. The chapter, of course, that I'm referring to is the 23rd Psalm, and the ending goes like this. Perhaps you know it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want us to consider those words this morning as we think about our future. And understand that our future is secure. David was very confident about his future. He knew that he could face whatever fears there might be about the future because he was sure that goodness and mercy would follow him all the days of his life. And he knew for sure that at the end he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And each of you here this morning, each of you here can have that very same assurance in your own life today. How can you face your future without fear? Well, I'm going to show you three things this morning from Psalm chapter 23 and verse 6 about your future and why you can face your future with great confidence. We're going to see in verse 6 here that God's goodness, first of all, is watching over you. And secondly, we'll see that God's grace is working in you. And thirdly, we'll notice that God's glory is waiting for you. That's what we'll see in verse 6. And let's begin with God's goodness is watching over you. One of the powerful realities, I believe, that surfaces from this 23rd Psalm is God's protection over you. His providence and his protection over you. He is like, as it says in this psalm, a loving shepherd that is watching over his sheep. Try to get that image in your mind this morning. A gentle and loving shepherd, a soft and loving, kind, tender-hearted shepherd who is guiding his sheep along, and he is watching over his sheep. And I'm going to tell you something. We need watching over, and I can tell you why. Because we are, as the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, we are all like sheep. We've all gone astray. We've all gone our own way. And we need the loving shepherd to bring us back into the fold. One who will protect us. One who will watch over us. One who will guide us. One who will smile upon us. One who will take care of us as lost sheep. You see, if we do not, as sheep, walk over the edge of a cliff, we will walk right into the presence of ravenous wolves. That's how dumb, can I say it, we are as sheep. We need a God who watches over us. Not just watching over us, but as it says in that verse 6 there, he's watching over us with his goodness. And I love the wording here where it says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. A shepherd, as you know, would walk in front of the sheep, guiding them and leading them. And as they were following the good shepherd, there were two dogs that were following at the tail end of that group. They were two watchdogs that were there helping the shepherd. And the two sheepdogs right here that are following us today are named Goodness and Mercy. Is that all right? Goodness and mercy will follow me as a sheep follow me all the days of my life. I'm following the good shepherd. I'm the sheep, and the two dogs following me are goodness and mercy, and they will follow me all the days of my life. And I want to talk about this first sheep right now, this first sheep called goodness. If as a sheep you are following the good shepherd, you are promised that goodness will follow you all the days of your life. And I hope that you remember that when you face a fearful future. I hope you'll remember that when things look dark, when things look dim, when things look like they're not going the way you want them to go, and maybe on a vacation when you lose a loved one, or maybe when things don't go the way you think they should go, that you've got goodness following you all the days of your life. You see, because God is good, you can expect His protection. You can expect His provision. Your good shepherd keeps you in His care. He is holding you securely in the palm of His hand, and He is tenderly loving you, watching you with His goodness. And no matter what the future holds, you know who holds the future. Amen? Your good shepherd is holding you in the palm of His hand. And His plan is for goodness to follow you all the days of your life. And so no matter what happens to you, you can be assured, no matter how bad it looks, God will always bring good out of it. Can you trust your shepherd that way today? That whatever is going on, however bad it looks, that you can be assured that God says, I will bring good out of it. It will always be for your good. It will always be for the good of others. It will always be for the good of the kingdom. You can be sure that God will follow you with goodness. He's watching over you with goodness. Never forget that God is a good God, no matter what your future looks like today. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 145 and verse 20 up on the screen, the Lord watches over all who love Him. Now, you see, you can be sure that God is watching over you. That's His job. What is your job according to that verse? You just need to love Him. If you love Him, and of course loving means obeying Him, He guarantees that He is watching over you. Do you know that God cares, in fact, about every single detail of your life? Take, for instance, the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Do you remember that wedding? Jesus came to the wedding. Now, weddings are a big deal, but small details in the wedding, we know at weddings they usually get overlooked, right? Somebody does something a little cute, we all just kind of laugh, no big deal. And you know that one of the major things that happened at this wedding, one of the things that we know about that didn't go as planned, was that they ran out of wine, right? They ran out of wine at the wedding. Now I have to tell you this, as important as that might seem, it was actually extremely small detail. They would have just gone on, it would have been okay, they still would have been married, they would have just went on with the ceremony, everything was okay, but not with God, because you see, God is concerned about every detail of your life. God would not let that slip by. He would send His Son there to take the water and change it into wine. God cares about every detail of your life, every single detail that you go through. He cares. God cares, and He chose to do something about whatever your situation may be. God cares about your financial struggles. He cares about your investments. He cares about the troubles that you might be having in your marriage right now. He cares about the challenges that you face in raising your children. He cares about a mother today who's carrying a baby in her womb, and He's watching over you with goodness, and He loves you. He cares about that flat tire that you had yesterday. Do you know, actually, when I was on vacation, the preacher, Sunday night at the Lakewood Church of Christ on the way to the building, he had a flat tire. They looked at me and said, Brother Rowe, it's time for you to get up and preach. So I did. And so we did. But anyway, a flat tire. God cares about the small details of your life. He cares about everything. Never forget that. He cares about everyone's troubles, but He makes a special promise to His people. And this is where it gets good for you. He makes a special promise to His people. He promises that goodness will follow you all the days of your life. You remember Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things work together for good for those who, there it is again, those who what? Love God, and to those who are the called according to His purpose. What a beautiful promise we have in God's Word. And that promise, I'm going to tell you right now today, audience, is not for everyone. That promise that God will bring good out of everything and work whatever negative into good, that promise is only for those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. And so the question is, do you love God? And as He's called you through the gospel to come into a relationship with Him and to walk with Him and enjoy salvation, enjoy the hope of heaven, have you answered that call? Do you love Him and have you answered His call? Well, you can be sure that if you've done that, this verse says that whatever you're going through in life, God will take all the ugliness and bring it together for the good. God promises that. God has called sinners through a good news message called the gospel. Let me tell you, first of all, the bad news is you are a sinner. And the bad news is that you were so bad that God had to, and chose to actually, send His Son to die for you. And that was bad news that Jesus suffered and died on that cross. That was bad news, but the good news is Sunday morning, He rose from the dead. And that is good news for you, because then that assures you of a great resurrection one day, that Jesus, through His sacrificial atonement for your sins, will raise you up to walk and be with God one day in eternity. Yes, that is good news. That is not just good news, that is great news, that God loved us that much, that He sent His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in that gospel? Do you believe that Jesus did that for you? Do you believe that He is God's very Son? That He is in fact God in the flesh, and He is one mediator between God and men? Do you believe in that Jesus? Do you believe in that gospel? Well, if you believe in that, and if you want salvation, if you want to answer the call, then you'll be obedient just like the folks in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 were when the apostle Peter told them, after they believed in Jesus and they believed in the gospel, he told them to repent of their sins and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and then they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did that because it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, those who gladly received His word were baptized that day. 3,000 were added to them because they responded to that gospel. I'm asking you today, God is calling you through the gospel. You don't even have to wait until I finish with this sermon today. You can interrupt me right now and you can say, Brother Rowe, I want to obey that gospel today. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to repent of my sins today. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so those sins are washed away. I'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then be heaven bound. We saw souls already this morning, 3 young men that obeyed the gospel just recently. They made that decision. They answered the call. They love God that much, and they have the promise, as it says in verse 28, that all things will work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to His promise. We're going to ask you to respond to that gospel later, or if you want to right now, interrupt my sermon, come forward and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But let's continue, because we've got some more goodies here in this psalm. In verse 6, we not only have God's goodness watching over us, but the second thing we see in this psalm here, and this is the reason why we can have confidence in our future, is that not only God's goodness is watching over you, but God's grace is working in you. If you've become a Christian, God's grace is working in you. Again, we may have a future that doesn't seem so bright today. But no matter what, the grace of God will see you through your dark valley. Verse 6 there says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Grace, you must know that grace and mercy are twin sisters. Did you know that? In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 10, God says, I will have mercy on you through my grace. Do you see how mercy and grace cooperate with one another to see you through life? It is by God's grace that you get what you don't deserve, which is heaven. It is by God's mercy that you don't get what you do deserve, which is hell. God's grace and God's mercy. But mercy and its twin sister grace, it says here, will follow you all the days of your life. Now, let me show you what that really means. I'll show you what I mean by that. In Psalm 103, notice the words of David, again, the shepherd here, and he's writing about the good shepherd, God, Jesus, and he says here in a different psalm, in Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, David writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, David says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are they, David? Listen to them, he says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord, he says in verse 6, executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful. There's mercy and grace. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And David says, he will not always strive with us nor keep his anger forever. And down then verse at the end, he says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. You made a mistake the other day. You sinned against God. You did something that showed that you faltered, something that was painful, maybe that had consequences. You had some negative experience in life, whatever it was. But God was there to pick you up. He was there to bring you back. He was there because he does not enjoy being angry with you when you sin against him. In fact, he wants to love you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to shower you with his grace and his mercy. And so he does not treat you the way your sins deserve that you be treated. Instead, he shows you great mercy and grace. You know, you're going to experience many difficult days in life. But if you're following God, this psalm tells us, Psalm 23 and verse 6 tells us that mercy and grace will follow you all the days of your life. You know, you have to understand that when it comes to God's grace, God does not turn off and on his grace depending on how good you are that day. That's not the way it works. His grace is a steady flow towards you, even while you are sinning, even while knowing that, of course, you will turn to God and repent and confess and experience that cleansing grace again. But all the days of your life will be followed by goodness and mercy. You don't have to fear the future. Even in seemingly bad days, God's goodness will provide for you and protect you, and God's mercy will pardon you and forgive you. His goodness will help you, and his mercy will heal you. God will take care of you. And maybe you're saying, Brother Roe, well, how can I be sure of that today? How do you know that's true? Well, look at the psalm. What does he say? Don't forget that word there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Just in case you doubted it this morning, even a sliver of a doubt, he says, surely, it's a done deal. You can take it to the bank. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Listen, church, don't ever put a question mark where God has put an exclamation point. Amen? He says, surely goodness will follow you. Surely mercy. Your future is not really in question. God says, surely. God's goodness is watching over you. His grace is working in you each and every day if you're a child of his. But there's more. Let's turn to the last part of our lesson today. And that is that God's glory is waiting for you. David says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This "and" is one of the biggest conjunctions in the Bible. God says, and goodness, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, David says. See, what that does is it connects today with tomorrow. And God says, I've got this great life for you, planned out for you, and surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, all the way you'll fall. But there's something at the end, God says. God says, I've got something at the end too. He says, if you follow Jesus Christ through life, there's a bonus afterwards. And the bonus is far better than even what led up to the bonus. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's talk about this house. You have a house right now. Did you know that? You're living in it right now. It's called your body. And this house is wearing out. Some of you old folks can say, amen, Brother O. This house is wearing out, man. The shingles are falling off. It's not the house I want to live in forever. Well, listen to what Paul says here to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, now we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, this is a house, the tent, he says, we have a building from God. He says, we have an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. He says, therefore, Here's our word. See, I want you to know you can be confident about your future. So Paul says here, therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, he says, we're absent from the Lord. Yes, we are confident and even would prefer, he says, to be absent from the body. That's really what you want, and be at home with the Lord. Yes, we want to be at home with the Lord. We all know that our bodies are not going to last forever. But your soul will last forever, either in a place called heaven or hell. And that's the future, I think, that you should be most concerned about. Not your future here on the earth. But just as the Christian does not need to fear the future in this life, the Christian is also confident about his eternity with God. Again, it says that we are confident and we prefer to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Death, you see, for the Christian is a promotion. It is a celebration. It is a graduation. My mom has graduated to glory, and I want to catch up with her one day. That's what we have on the horizon. That's really our true future. Let me ask you, Christian, could your future be any brighter? Not at all. If you're in Christ Jesus today, your future on earth really makes no difference at all if you're not in Christ Jesus. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And in fact, you don't know how to live until you're ready to die. Only a fool would go through life unprepared for something that we all know is inevitable. And that is, you're going to die. Maybe you need to go to some more funerals to be reminded of that. You are going to die. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will all answer for what we've done in this body? And hopefully, if we're in Christ Jesus, then we will go to be with him forever. You know, making a nice life for yourself is really not the goal of life. Did you get me what I said this morning? Making a nice life for yourself right now and here, that is not the goal of your life. Getting ready for heaven is the real goal that God has for you. This life isn't the big dance. It's just the dress rehearsal. We're just getting ready for eternity. People who waste their lives accumulating things here, trying to gather all they can and have the most fun they can have out of time here on earth, they're really just wasting their time. Things that they will not keep, things that they will not take with them. And so as we close this morning, can you say, my friend, along with David, can you say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. My friend, what does your real future look like today? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in him? Have you confessed that he is the Son of God? Have you said, I believe that Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and rose again? And then after that belief in Jesus and his gospel, have you made a decision to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? We're inviting you to come to the Lord right now if you haven't done that. And if you've walked away as a sheep and you've been walking off some cliffs lately and you've walked in the presence of ravenous wolves and you've walked away from the good shepherd, come home today. Come back to the fold. Come to Jesus. Let's stand and sing our invitation song.